You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.
Oh man, welcome Makers Church. Hey guys, my name is Shalise and I'm one of the pastors here at Makers. And I'm so excited to get to share with you guys here this morning and also everybody who is joining us on live stream. If you guys don't know, we are out there. We are live streaming to the world. And I actually live streamed in last week because I was in Joshua Tree for a little birthday trip, and it was super, super fun. I was excited to go until I got there. You ever get like really excited for something and then you get there and you're like, why did we do this to ourselves? So, you know, we go to Joshua Tree, and it's beautiful in San Diego, and it's not in the desert. And I go there and we get out and it's like 105 degrees. You know, which is not a real number for those of us who live in San Diego. People in Arizona are like, yeah, but it's a dry heat. That means nothing to me. If I'm sweating, I'm sweating. Whether it's like wet or dry, I'm sweating. So we get there and we're like, we're tough. You know what? We're brave. Like, the desert is not going to stop us. And so we found this really cool museum by this guy named Noah Purifoy. If you've ever been out to Joshua Tree, you might have been there. And basically this 72-year-old man decided LA was too expensive, I'm gonna retire in Joshua Tree and just buy 20 acres and make art. And so he created this beautiful, I mean just crazy outdoor museum. And we're like, we're going to the museum. I don't care if it's 10 a.m. So we get out there, we're driving, we get out of the car, and we're like, this place is amazing. And then about 60 seconds passes, and you know that bead of sweat that trickles down your back and starts going south, and you're like, oh no, this is not good. And I was like, okay, we're done, 60 seconds, saw it all. And so we kind of like did a big, really quick lap so we could say that we went there. You know, you're like, great, this is good, we've been, let's go. And then we went and watched Cars 3 at the movie theater in the air conditioning. Because we, you know, I'm not a desert person. When it's hot, I get cranky, I get tired, I'm like, I complain. I like start to wilt. And the whole time I'm just thinking, this dude is 72 years old, building this out. And like the whole trip, all we kept saying is, who lives here? Like, who chooses to live in Joshua Tree in the summer? I have so much like fascination and respect for desert people. They are crazy. It's like they learn how to survive in conditions that like I can't even function in. And they're like out running and doing errands. And I'm in like the AC right under the vent. Just like, I will be here all vacation. Pick me up in 4 days. So we go to Joshua Tree and I'm just over and over, who lives here? How? Like, how do you live here? And so what I want to talk to you about today is how do you survive in the desert? Now, I'm not talking like the literal desert. I'm talking the metaphorical deserts. We all have those seasons of life where it just doesn't seem to be lining up. Parts of your life aren't fitting with other parts. You feel desperate. You feel isolated. You feel alone. You feel lost. You feel abandoned. You're like, God, like, there's nothing here for me. Like, what are we doing here? So what I want to talk to you about today is how do you survive in the desert? But I want to be clear. The goal is not survival. The goal is not to survive. The goal is to thrive. But before we can actually thrive, we got to learn how to survive. There was no thriving I was doing in the desert. I was like, just Jesus, let me just make it through these next few days. You know, I will never come here again. So the goal is not to just survive. The goal is actually to thrive. So if you were here 2 weeks, who was here 2 weeks ago when Pastor Mark gave an incredible message? Remember, Mark was like, we have to name our talks now. So here's the name of my talk. Are you ready? Okay. It's 17 steps for how to, I'm just kidding. It's not 17. It's three. It's three steps for how to survive in the wilderness, aka Joshua Tree, aka Death Valley, aka life. Got that? Okay. There will be a quiz later. But I want to talk to you about three really practical steps for how do we survive so that we can grow. Step number one, get small. Turn to your neighbor and say, get small. I'm not talking about your weight. Don't look at them and be like, I told you, you need to work out. See, Pastor Shalise said. No, the first step is to get small. A few weeks ago, I was watching this documentary on BBC, Planet Earth. Anybody? Oh my gosh. I'm like, the ocean is terrifying. I'm never going in there again. But planet Earth is fascinating. And there was a special on marine iguanas. marine iguanas on the Galapagos Islands. They're these rad, like, reptiles who look like a miniature Godzilla, and they survive only on the Galapagos Islands, very specific type of reptile. And every few years, El Nino comes. And these animals live completely on, like, algae and whatever else is like algae. And English teacher, not science. And so El Nino comes, and these reptiles lose pretty much their entire food source. So generally what happens is the largest iguanas die first because you require the most energy. I was like, Jesus, just take me now. I would be on that island like, I'm dead. And so the largest iguanas die first. And so, you just got that joke. That's good. That was a fat joke. The largest iguanas die first. And so these iguanas, amazing. Do you know what they do? They shrink their bodies by 20%. They actually shrink their bodies, not over like the course of generations or their life, like in a matter of a few months, these iguanas actually break down the bones inside of their bodies and rebuild their skeletal systems once El Nino has passed. And I heard that and I was like, that's the new diet fad. All right, we're all going on the marine iguana diet. You just shrink your body down a few months, 20% less mass. It'll be great, and then just rebuild yourself. But I thought, that is insane that these iguanas, when there are no resources, when they don't have what they need to survive, they actually just get smaller. I thought, oh man, that's what I need to do. You know, when you're in the desert season and you're in that space of life where you're like, God, like, there's not enough resources. Like, we have to get smaller. And I'm sure some of you are sitting here right now, and even as I'm saying this, you're already beginning to think about those things that you could get rid of in your life. Those things that are unnecessary, that take up your energy, that person that you're like, I can't in this season help you survive and help myself survive. And so we actually have to get smaller. I love Bob Goff. Bob Goff is an amazing author, professor. He is a lawyer, and he lives here in San Diego, and he wrote this book called Love Does. And in the book, he said, I quit something every Thursday. And I was like, yes, I like that, Bob. And then I realized I'm gonna have to start picking up new habits so that I have something else to quit every Thursday. But Bob Goff says, I quit something every Thursday. Sometimes it's big and sometimes it's small, but I always wanna be in the habit of letting go of things. And I thought, man, how often do we find ourselves in hard seasons of life? And there's all these things that we're doing and we're just like, why am I doing this? And so my permission for you this morning is to get small. Tell your neighbor, get small. This is the season when you find yourself in the desert where you need to say, God, what is it that I need to let go of so that I can be healthy first? What do I need to say no to so that I can say yes to the things that will help me grow and help me survive in this desert? So I need to hear you guys again. That was kind of weak. Tell your neighbor, get small. All right, step two, we need to get strategic. Anybody like strategy games? Yes. Like a 4-hour game of Settlers of Catan, or like a 12-hour game of Risk, or like a 24-hour game of Monopoly, where at the end you're just like, I don't know who won, goodbye. But I love strategy games. If you've ever done Strengths Finders, you know it's an amazing personality assessment, but both of my parents have strategic as their number one strength, their number one theme, which means they both think they know the best way to do everything. My dad will tell you it's actually him, but my mom's not here, so she doesn't get a vote. But I love strategy. You know, when I play strategy games, I'm always thinking like 15 steps ahead. You know, I'm like, sure, you can have Australia, because I'm taking Madagascar over here and I will destroy you from the east. Or I'm like, yes, here, have a sheep because I'm building a city over here and I'm gonna completely destroy you in 10 moves. Or, you know, whatever it is, I'm like, yeah, sure, have the rook. Checkmate. I love strategy games because you're always thinking 10 steps ahead. You know, the definition of strategic is to have a long-term goal. I thought, man, I have no problem doing that. When it comes to games, I said, but when it comes to my life, Like 10 steps ahead is not usually where I operate. Usually what I'm looking at is what is right in front of me. I'm never thinking, you know what, this is probably for my good. In 2 years, this is all gonna work out. And I'd be so grateful that that person broke up with me or that I lost that job or that this tragedy happened in my life. I love the desert because in 6 months, we're all gonna be healthy. Like, we don't naturally think strategically. But I love Paul says in 2 Corinthians, there's this incredible verse. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away in the desert, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen. We don't fix our eyes on what is right before us. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So what Paul is talking about here is strategy. He says, don't fix your eyes on what you see right now. That is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. He's trying to shift the conversation back to what God's focus is, which is eternity. And I don't know about you, but so often I get so focused on what's right in front of me that I forget the bigger picture. I forget to actually have a strategy for my life. I forget to ask God, God, what is your plan for where you need me to go? Because when your perspective is, God, where are you trying to move me? When God starts moving things out of your way and he starts moving you to different places, you're a lot more likely to begin to thrive in those seasons where you're just like, where are we going? So we have to be strategic minded. Now, for some of you, that's easy. Raise your hand if you were like, yeah, obviously, duh, 5-year plan, 10-year plan. I journal every day on my progress. Who's like that in here? Yes, one of you. Everybody go be friends with her. Most of us are not like that. Most of us are like, we'll just see how it goes. Wing it. We're really reactive versus active. Right? Most of us are reactive. Whatever life throws at me, we'll handle it versus being active and saying, God, like, I'm going to go after this thing. I'm going to go after and pursue this health or this wholeness or this goal that you've put inside of my heart to do. If you want any proof that we are not generally strategic by nature, you just have to look at kids. Right? I was over at Derek and Laurel, our pastors there in Idaho today, having a little vacation. We miss you guys. But I was over there, and Blake wanted a cookie. Now, I'm not a parent, but I remember being a kid and wanting a cookie. And he wanted a cookie. It was like, but Dad! And I'm sitting there going, oh my gosh, like, this is so real for him. Like, he is in it. And he's like, I want a cookie. And I thought, like, he's not thinking strategically. Like, you can't walk up to a kid and be like, well, a moment on the lips, a lifetime on the hips, Blake, you know? And he's like, you know what? You're right. I'll have a sensible salad for dinner. No cookies for me, Mom. Like, that's not the way that we, by nature, think. We are not strategic thinkers. But I want you to think about the direction of your life. And is it possible that God has a plan for you? Is it possible that you were actually put on this planet to do something that nobody else can do? But if you don't do it, who will? So you need to get small. Tell your neighbor, get small. You can do better than that. Tell your neighbor, get small. And then you need to get strategic. Tell your other neighbor that you ignored the first time because you actually like the other person. Tell them, get strategic. And last but not least, you need to get ready. I could sit here and tell you a million stories, and I know that you have a million of your own, of moments that you look back and you're like, if I had just known, if I knew then what I knew now, I wouldn't have complained, I wouldn't have been so frustrated, I wouldn't have been so hopeless, I wouldn't have felt so lost. But when you're in the desert, it's hard to think of that. It's hard to remember those promises of God, that there's actually beauty on the other side of the desert. Did anybody make it out to the Super Bloom this year? In the desert. Yeah, you're like, no, you just said don't go to the desert. Why would I go there? And around April, you know, we had a ton of rain over the winter. Places that hadn't seen rain in 10, 15, 20 years got a ton of rain, and it created this beautiful thing called the super bloom. The entire desert was just filled with gorgeous, gorgeous flowers and thousands of horrible tourists and people who were flocking to the desert to see a miracle, to see all of this life that had burst forth out of nowhere. NPR did this interview with Park Ranger Steve. I love Park Ranger Steve. Park Ranger Steve said this. You know, do you ever just think, I wonder if this guy knew that he would be quoted someday on stage, you know, like during a talk, and he might have chosen his quote better. But he said, "This year's conditions were perfect for such a phenomenon. Long, steady rain throughout the winter that soaked into the ground, and temperatures that were not too hot. Some of these seeds have been underground for maybe decades, if not a century or more. We just don't know. Some of these places have not seen water in 10, 15, 20 years, and now they're a blanket of flowers. In other words, they are survivors. You have to be tough to be out in the desert. That's for sure." I mean, to survive for 10, 15, 20 years in this hot desert. Nobody's going to look at the desert and you go, you know what? I bet it's right under there. Wildflowers. It's going to be beautiful in about 15 years. Just wait. Like, nobody is probably thinking that. The desert is where things go to die. You know, the desert is this desolate place where we lose sense of our resources, our hope. Like, there's nothing for us in the desert. But I was sitting this week and I had this like thought that came to my head, and I want to share it with you, and I'm going to read it because I don't want to mess it up. But it's been so true in my life, and I wonder if maybe it's true in yours. It says, "The beauty of God often lays dormant right below the surface of our lives, just waiting for the right conditions to burst forth and display his glory." So I think the beauty of God lays dormant right below the surface of our lives. And like Park Ranger Steve said, sometimes it's just waiting for just the right conditions to burst forth and display God's glory, but we have to be ready. There was a profound message almost 6 years ago that Pastor Derek gave, and he talked about digging ditches, and it was this talk on getting ready. You're in the desert season, and you know, like, there is no hope. There's nothing coming, but how do you prepare even when you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel? And in 2 Kings 3:16-17, you have these three kings who are fighting this war, and they're 7 days into the battle and they run out of water because they were not strategic. See, you got to get strategic. But they run out of water 7 days in, and they're like, what do we do? Let's call a prophet. And so they bring in Elisha. And Elisha's like, give me background music. I need to like commune with God, which is literally what he says. He's like, bring the musicians in. And I don't know about you, we're gonna bring the musicians in a minute, and it's gonna, just everything's better with background music. You know, and so he's like, bring the musicians in. And it says, while the musician was playing, the Lord's power came over Elisha. And he said, this is what the Lord says. Make this valley full of ditches. You will not see wind or rain, but this valley will be filled with water, and you, your cattle, and your other animals will drink. He said, make this valley full of ditches. You will not see wind or rain, but this valley will be full of water. And what do you think happened the next morning when they woke up? Thank you. Full of water. I hadn't decided if it was going to be participatory, so thank you, Chris. I appreciate it. I was like, ugh. It was full of water. But I love that he says, you're not going to see wind. You're not going to see rain. Who hopes for what he already has? He says, if you want to grow your faith, you want to grow in the desert, you want to learn to survive, you need to start operating as if there is hope. You need to start operating in faith. I may not see the wind, I may not smell the rain, but I know that God's desire is not for us to die, but for us to actually thrive in this desert. So I'm going to get a shovel and start digging some ditches. And so my challenge for you this morning, if you're in that desert season, you're going, God, like, there is nothing. There's no hope here. There's no life here. There's no promise. My challenge for you is, could you get ready? If you can't see the wind and you can't see the rain and you don't smell it on the air, could you still have faith that God can make it rain? And so we get ready. We get small. We get rid of everything in our life that is unnecessary. It could be habits. It could be relationships. It could be commitments you made 3 years ago that no longer serve the purpose. And you go, God, what do I need to survive? Take me back. Strip me down to the basics. You get small, and then you get strategic. You know when to go, when to move, follow the shade, stay in during the hot times. Work smarter, not harder. You go, God, what are our next moves? What are you doing 10 steps ahead? Where are you taking me? And we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And even when we can't see it, we go, God, I know that you are faithful. You were faithful then, you'll be faithful now. And we pick up a shovel and we start digging ditches. If you want a relationship, start working on it now. If you want that job, start putting in the work now. If you want health in your life, you gotta start somewhere. And we start digging ditches as a sign of faith that God, you are gonna make it rain. So we have three things. You need to get small, you need to get strategic, and you need to get ready, because I promise you this, it's not a matter of if those desert seasons of your life will come, it's just a matter of when. You know, sometimes those things sneak up on you fast. You're like, whoa, I was not ready for that. But other times it's slow, it's gradual. Get in this car in San Diego and it's 77 degrees and next thing you know, you're in the desert and it's 105 and you're like, how did I even get here? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Like, God, how did I even get here? Because sometimes the desert comes really slow, but if we're going to not only survive and but thrive in the desert, like, we need to know why we are there. And the truth is that God restores us in the desert. I know what you're thinking. You're like, no, the desert is where we go to die. The desert is a desolate place where nothing survives, but the desert is actually where God restores us. When I was 18 years old, I read this verse for the first time. It rocked my world so much. It was the first tattoo I ever got. And it was in Hosea 2, 14 through 15. Hosea 2 says, therefore, I am now going to allure her. To allure means to powerfully call. He says, therefore, I'm going to allure her. I'm going to powerfully call her. I am leading her into the wilderness, and I'll speak tenderly to her. There, I will give her back her vineyards. I'll give her back what she lost. I will make the valley of Achor, or trouble, the valley of trouble, a door of hope. And there she will respond. Some translations say that she will sing, as in the days of her youth, as in the days she came up out of Egypt. He says, I'm gonna allure you. I'm going to powerfully call you into the desert to restore you, not to kill you, but to restore you, to take what you lost and give it back to you, to make the valley of trouble a door of hope. And I'm gonna remind you of the first time that I set you free. Because something happens to us when we were in the desert and we were stripped of everything else, that we can actually connect more deeply to God. When we remove all the distractions and we're able to meet God face to face, it's not an accident that Jesus went into the wilderness. It's not an accident that all these prophets would go into the wilderness to actually seek God. Because it's in the desert and in the wilderness that God actually chooses to restore us. So my invitation for you this morning, maybe some of you are here and you're like, life is great. The desert's coming. We know that. As great as life is, life can change like that, and there will be a time when the desert will come, and I want you to be ready. There's some of you here who have overcommitted and you've overburdened yourselves and you're feeling the extra weight of life. And my encouragement for you this morning, my permission for you, is to get small. Think of those things that you need to get rid of, those relationships that you need to let go of, the ties that you need to cut, the things that you need to actually release so that God can come in and begin to make you your best self, to heal you from the inside out. And we need to be strategic. We need to have a plan for our lives and to trust God when we're in the desert season, to know that He's actually taking us somewhere. To believe that there is actually beauty that is beneath the surface of our lives, and we're just waiting for the right conditions for the super bloom. People came by the thousands to the desert to see flowers grow out of nothing. And I wonder how much more people would come by the thousands to watch our lives when we, as broken people, as shattered people, as people who have lost and are longing and are desperate, if our lives could be transformed and made into something beautiful. And that only happens through the power of the Holy Spirit. So I want to pray for us and to close this morning. This verse in Psalm 63, it was a verse of David when he was in the desert of Judah. But before we read that verse, I just want you to just have a moment to sit. I want to give weight to whatever desert you're in. Feel like it's easy to play the comparison game, you know, where we just think like, oh, but it's not as big as that person, or this isn't really a struggle, or this isn't really a whatever desert you are in, that is your space that God has brought you to. And I want you to give weight to wherever you find yourself, big or small. I was talking with Trinity and Joey earlier and talk about they're getting ready to go to high school. I'm like, the desert is coming. You can survive. I promise it gets better. But maybe for you it is work-related or a relationship or just a space with God where you just feel like, God, where are you? You were so present. What happened? Like, where are you? Maybe it's finances. Whatever it may be, I just want you to give recognition to the place that God has you. And I want you to think about the things that He could begin to do in your life that if you let go of, you know you would just feel lighter. You would know that if you could just get small, that you would just feel better, that you would be healthier. Could you actually do that this week? Could you begin to get strategic and have a plan for your life and to trust that God was taking you somewhere and leading you somewhere so beautiful that the light and momentary struggles that you're in do not compare to the glory, to the super bloom that will be revealed in you in Christ Jesus. And last but not least, if you have never said yes to Jesus, maybe your life has been a desert, or maybe you've just recently come to a place where you just feel like, God, where are you? Like, there's got to be more to life than this. I told you at the beginning of this talk that the only reason we are here is because there is a God who loves you and longs for you to have life and life abundant, no matter where you find yourself. And so if you're here this morning and you've never said yes to Jesus, you've never actually invited Jesus to be the Lord of your life, you've never invited him to be the compass, the true north, the star that guides your life, I just want to take a moment. If that's you, I just would love to pray for you. If you just say, you know what, I'm tired of running, I just want to say yes to Jesus. If that's you, if you would just shoot your hand up and put it right back down, I want to pray for you. If you're joining us on live stream, we just want to pray this prayer together. Let's all pray this out loud. Say, dear God, we desperately need you. God, in a dry and weary land, you are our water. We give our lives to you. In Jesus' name. So I'm going to read this psalm, and I'd actually like for you to stand. I believe heavily in the fact that what we actually do with our physical bodies mirrors the condition of our hearts. If you know anything about body language, you know, if you talk to somebody and they're like this, it's like, oh, I'm not gonna talk to you. I'll come back later. Clenching your fists and our bodies actually create spaces for us that sometimes we don't even recognize we're in. And so if you would just close your eyes for a second and just open your hands and just put them out. If you just open your hands and put them out, we're gonna pray this together. We're gonna invite God to be in this space, to make us small, to help us be strategic, to get us ready. And when we're done here, we're gonna have our prayer team in the back. Do not leave this space without getting prayer for the desert that you're in. Do not leave this space thinking, I can do it on my own. It's fine. We'll make it through. The only thing that makes the desert bearable is when we get to do it together. So before you leave today, during this next song, if you would go back to our prayer team, they would love to pray for you no matter what season you find yourself in. We want to give weight to every desert season that you might find yourself in. But we're going to read this last Psalm of David in the desert of Judah. And David cried out. He said, oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. We're gonna sing one more song together, and I would encourage you, as we sing this song, don't lose this moment. Feel free to stay in this moment as long as you would like. We would love to pray with you in the back, but that line, in the shadow of your wings, I will sing for joy. You can get small and you can get strategic and you can get ready, but there is no better way to survive the desert than in the shadow of his wings.
You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.